Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Angel Connection, a weekly show about all things angelic with your host, international healer and author, C.J. Martins.
Good evening, my angel friends. This is CJ Martis, and you're listening to the Angel Connection Show on Friday, January 11, 2013. I'd like to say Happy New Year to all my friends out there. I hope you and your families are well. I really enjoyed having some time off during the holidays for some me and some family time, so I hope that you were able to do that as well. I look forward to another year full of angel guidance and sharing wisdom like we have had on the show so far. And a special thanks to all the guests that I had last year. It's been a wonderful experience. And, you know, tonight's topic is a fascinating one that I hope that everyone enjoys. We're talking about the next human or the evolution going on within many of us. You hear me often talk about a shift going on. Well, my guest is Jason Jeffers, and he joins me for a discussion about where we're headed as a human race and even a little bit about how we can get there. Well, I had been a little out of practice getting into the inspiring story after a few weeks off, but I found one here that's right up my alley, someone being at the right place at the right time. This happened just a few days ago in Windsor, Colorado. A lady named Kimberly Garcia was leaving work when her car starts to slide off the road, and she said it just flipped straight into the water and broke through the ice. Her back window shattered, and all the water just filled her car. And so she said it was just terrible, really bad. She couldn't find a way to get out. The ice was surrounding her car, and so she couldn't even push the doors wide open enough to escape. And she said she went to the back, tried to open the back, couldn't, and she was freezing because the water was way below freezing. And hypothermia, I come from a medical family, can really set in quickly. But just as she was about to give up, she had climbed halfway out of the broken back window, and she said, she was even telling this person, I can't, I'm giving up, I can't. And he says, no, I got you. And she couldn't really even move a muscle. She was so frozen, but he got her out of the car, got her to the up the embankment into his car with the heater, and saved her life. And so she says she'll be forever grateful to the stranger that stopped to help her. Of course, like many good Samaritans, disappeared right after the fact, and nobody knows who this person is. But it's just another inspiring story how, you know, she really was just released a few hours later, a little bruised and a little bit of cuts, but okay. So good job to her angel who was there when she needed him. I have a little bit of an announcement. Today, actually, there's still time to download my new novel, the first of four, Angel Incarnate, One Birth, off Kindle. Today is 111111. It's an angelic frequency. The angels and I chose this as a freebie day to thank everyone for their love, their support. And the other exciting news is that it will be released in print version in just 1 month, so I'm excited. The official release date is February 12th. So for more information about the book, visit the official site, www.angelincarnate.com. So off now to the angel message, which I know everyone is waiting for what the angels have to say about the new year. So here goes. Dear ones, welcome to a new year full of a wide range of life possibilities. The theme of this year overall is to know yourself more deeply. Many of you have now spent a great deal of time uncovering your old pain and trauma that has been sabotaging your life experiences. There will always be things that can trigger you emotionally or reveal an area within you that is in need of your compassionate care. Always remember that while you live in the human world, there will always be ups and downs. You will always be challenged to grow and evolve your perception of your life. Last year was energetically an intense cycle of release and healing. I have to pause the message here and go, oh my goodness, yes it was. It's kind of an understatement. Okay, anyway, back to the message. The flow of energy over the next month will help alleviate some of this intensity that was caused before by the transformation process occurring all over the world. take the best care of your physical body that you can will be important. Taking the best care of your physical body that you can will be important, excuse me. Listening to your body's messages, also very helpful to allow you to keep some balance. A common habit that most people have is to override their body's messages in order to do this or that. Greater wisdom will come from your harmony with the needs of your body as well as your mind or spirit. I know we talk a lot more on the show about mind and spirit. The divine energy this week will spark and support a deeper sense of creativity for you. This will be a good time for envisioning your personal goals, writing down your feelings, and for beginning new projects. Even if you do not consider yourself artistic or creative, there are other forms of being creative too, coming up with solutions, looking at a situation differently, or even balancing the needs of yourself and your family. Sometimes that takes a little bit of creative work. With the freer energies this month, it may be easy to overdo it. Get plenty of rest and don't push too hard. You need time to integrate these new vibrations, and deeper integration requires more stillness, not less. As a collective, there are many still releasing physical or cellular memories, so there are many illnesses in your world circulating right now. Honoring all aspects of yourself, from the physical to the spiritual, will allow you to go deeper into self-awareness and learn more about the authentic you, rather than whom you believe others want you to be or maybe who you think you should be. A great exercise this week will be to look at who you are from your heart space rather than the critical mind. What are your gifts? How can you express your unique self to others more in the future? What will bring you the greatest happiness? We are so thrilled to make the journey with each of you and help you find your way back to your beautiful and divine nature. You have already accomplished so much, and we hold the vision for an even deeper sense of clarity for you in the coming months. Please remember, we are always close by and will come when you need us. We wish you an amazing week full of joy and peace. Until next time, dear ones, we are the Seraphim. Well, I think that's a positive affirmation for this next year. Know ourselves. So that's what we're all going to work on this show. It's my commitment to each of you listeners. So without further ado, like I always do, try to bring on the most informative and interesting people that I can get to come on my show. I'm so enriched by these guests that I have on the show. And who I have tonight is Jason Lincoln Jeffers. He's a spiritual teacher, life and wellness coach, author, mystical expressionist fine artist, evolutionary astrologer, philosopher, entrepreneur. Sounds like me. You've got this list of many, many wonderful traits here. Inspirational speaker, self-taught authority on metaphysics, transpersonal psychology, and alternative medicine. But what we're going to talk about tonight, in September 2012, Jason published his first book called The Next Human, A Guide to Personal and Collective Evolution. And at this time, I'd love to welcome Jason Jeffers to The Angel Connection. Welcome, Jason.
Well, thank you, CJ. It's an honor to be with you on the very first show that you have of 2013. And I'm very honored to be with your listening audience to bring them the message of my new book, The Next Human. So thank you.
Well, you're very, very welcome. And I think it's important, you know, the topic of your books is really important. I think people are always trying to get a grasp on this shift that's happening inside of people. And we had a chance to have a discussion like I do with most of my guests prior to coming on to the show. So for those that aren't familiar with you, I think a best place to start our discussion is to, share with the listeners a little bit about your journey and kind of what led you to where you are now, because you have quite a journey. It talks about it on your website, and, of course, we've had a chance to discuss it.
Yes, it has been quite a journey. I guess I could mention a little bit about my childhood. It was rather unusual. My father was 65 when I was born, and by the time I was six, he was training me how to probably interpret my dreams, to channel, to meditate, and teaching me metaphysics, essentially. And so by the time I was 19, I had traveled around the world three times, and speaking with him on the radio and television and lecturing and so forth on a variety of New Age topics. And this is back when there weren't even sections of New Age in the bookstores. But then he died in 1988. I was 23, and I became very depressed. And almost suicidal. I was also going through a divorce at the time. I got married very young. I was only 21. So those two traumatic events kind of led me into a downward spiral, and I came down with a very severe case of chronic fatigue syndrome. So I was debilitated. I didn't have much energy to do anything except for study and read. I went back to school. I finished my degree in psychology. But then I bought every metaphysical book I could get my hands on, as well as alternative medicine, because I didn't know what was wrong with me. I had, you know, a host of other diseases on top of the chronic fatigue as well, which I talk about in the book. But I was trying to cure myself. I was trying to get well. I was trying to figure out why I was suffering so much. So it really drove me inward for over a decade. I was studying and researching and searching, really, just trying to find out the answers of life. And I became an observer, a very keen observer of people, people's behavior, and didn't understand why I was being abused by friends and family, and couldn't hold a relationship. I would go through an entire relationship within just a few weeks with women that I would meet, and it would just end, you know, very traumatically, just like my divorce ended. So that really propelled me to try to figure out why. I just, you know, kept demanding why. Why is this happening to me? You know, so that. It lasted until well into the late 90s and early 2000s. And then in 2001, I experienced an inner body experience that is known in the ancient Sanskrit as a kundalini. And then that gave me an awakening, a temporary awakening, I would say, because then about 8 months later, I was plunged down into my ego again and started a company, which eventually became a success for a very short period of time. But then I had a partnership legal battle with the business, and that was also very traumatic. And so it really wasn't until 2007 when I truly awakened completely and fully, and I've been living in the heart ever since. And so that's really what propelled me to write the book. I wanted to share my journey with others that are out there suffering, because I know there's a lot of people out there suffering, and so I thought that the book would be very helpful.
Well, and you know, the story that you tell, Jason, too, I'm just so many people who, you know, especially authors who are teachers, you know, they're sharing the information. It's coming from this place, of course, of us getting plunged down into our own stuff, right? Our own ego, you know, and being able to come out the other side. And so have great, you know, great hope always, because there's so many people like yourself and others who it's like, I made it out. Let me show you how I did it, you know.
Yeah.
And because there's nothing that's going to, you know, circumvent the work that has to be done on ourselves.
Right.
We have to go within. We have to know, you know, they hear me talk a lot on here, knowing thyself and all of this. And, you know, and something you said was that, you know, then you get plunged back, you know, into everything being more ego-driven. And part of the reason I was so excited to bring you on the show was to talk about the ego. I think that people don't always have a clear understanding of that. But before we really get into the characteristics of the ego, if, you know, I ask you the question, you know, talking about the shift in evolving consciousness, you know, and I believe that humanity is changing in tremendous ways right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what does this new human look like overall? You know, just a short picture of where we're headed, I guess.
Okay, sure. Well, the next human is really that's the next stage of human evolution. We're moving toward. There are millions of people out there, millions of souls that are in their chrysalis, what I call chrysalis stage, which is kind of the cocoon stage, right? The caterpillar that goes in and eventually comes out and emerges as a butterfly. And we've already moved past the Mayan calendar now, and we are full swing into the age of Aquarius, which is the age of enlightenment, which is the age of the water bearer pouring out her knowledge and wisdom to humanity. And this is the age of brotherly and sisterly love, where we are able to live as one, to see each other as one, to live in the heart, and to transcend that ego and create a space in between the ego, between the egoic mind and the true self, which is the authentic self, or some people call it the higher self. I call it the zero point self. And so that is the state of the next human. She is evolved into a heart-centered place. She is a heart-based being. She no longer sees people as inferior or superior. She sees everyone as equal. And her love extends outward, not just to people that she is close to, friends and family, but extends outward to every 7 billion of the inhabitants of planet Earth, and including Mother Earth herself. So this is a higher being of consciousness and a higher frequency of consciousness that we're moving toward, which is the new Earth. And so these next human children, which are coming in droves now, and the millions are being born now, this is escalating, it's quickening, especially now that we've moved past December 22nd of last year. And these high-frequency children are helping to accelerate this quickening. And this is why we see the Arab Spring, and this is why we see all of the conflicts that are happening. We see all the issues on gun control that are happening in the news every day, and we see the polarization that goes on in our government and other governments and so forth. And we see, you know, all of these things are happening because these are problems that need to be addressed on a higher level of consciousness. Einstein said we cannot solve the problems based on the same consciousness that they were created. We have to solve it from a higher level of consciousness. And this is the next human. She's going to come in, and she's going to help to solve these problems that we have today very quickly, because the frequency of the planet is changing very quickly. So I guess that would sum up the role of the next human.
Well, and I wholeheartedly agree with you, not to make a pun, but just that we are really moving, you know, this is what's going on, you know, issues and, like you said, the polarization. I think that, you know, people can really mistake those things rising again to be looked at from this different point of view, from this higher frequency, as everything's just getting worse and worse. But that's not how, you know, we should choose to look at it. So we could probably talk about just overall the shift probably the whole hour, so I'll probably now move on to another question. But so one of the key points in your book is, you know, that in order to move into that higher frequency, then what that new human looks like that comes from that heart space, we have to transcend the ego. So let's discuss the, you know, what is the ego? I think there'll be a lot of misinformation, as I said. So what are the characteristics of our ego, the structure that each of us has?
Okay. Well, you're right, CJ. Most people don't know what the ego is. They're not taught. All they know is that, you know, people who are egocentric are arrogant, and, you know, everything goes to their head and things of that, and that ego is something, you know, that we identify with. But then that's all they're taught. They're really not taught the deeper levels and the deeper meaning of the ego, and that's why I devoted an entire chapter in the book to it, so that we can educate people as to the meaning of the ego and how to identify it in yourself and in others. Because if you're ego identified, you won't know it. You and the
right.
ego are one. Right. So
right.
And that's most people. That's the current human. And so the next, and to get to the next human, you have to really, the first step is to identify it in yourself and identify it in others. And when you can do that, when you can say, that's the ego, that's the spark of enlightenment.
Uh-huh.
See, that is the very beginning, nascent stages of enlightenment. Now, it takes time. It's just not, you know, when you were a kid, you just didn't hop on a bicycle and start riding it. you
yes,
fell
it
down.
Takes practice.
You, Yeah, it takes practice. It takes practice. So, but I give you all the tools that you need in that chapter to practice and to learn to identify. So essentially what the ego is it creates separation, okay? Its prime directive is to seek power, specifically power over the other or over something. It doesn't have to be a person. It could be over a situation or life. The people
right.
who complain all the time about life, this and that, as if they're superior to life. But in reality, there is no such thing as my life. If you say my life, what you're doing is you're subtracting yourself from life, and therefore you do not exist. See, there's just life that incorporates all sentient beings, all animals and plants, all planets and stars throughout the universe. That's just life, okay? So when you say my life, that's the ego, because the ego has to be separate. It has to be separate from others. Has to be separate from life. It has to do its own thing, because that ego can only exist in a state of separation. So in that process of separating itself, it judges other people by being either inferior or superior. So
it can go both ways, right?
Oh,
yeah, it can go both ways.
Yeah. I'm so intimidated by him. You know, oh, I could never see him. That's saying that person is superior to you, which is insanity, because we're all equal on a soul level. We're all connected. We're all the same. We're all one. And so, but the ego, nothing fears the ego more than unity. So what all the spiritual teachers are talking about these days is to bring people awakening to the unity consciousness. Okay, and this unity consciousness, and you can't get there until you transcend the ego. This is why it's Evolution 101 in the book, right? So
right.
We really have to learn how to identify it in ourselves and then in the other, and then when we can do that, when we can finally say, that's the ego, then we are moving forward. We are evolving, and then eventually you'll get to be where, oh my God, I can't believe I was controlled by this thing, because all the suffering that you've gone through in your life, all the heartbreak, so-called quote unquote, is because of the ego. It's not truly your heart that's broken. Your heart is invulnerable, and your heart is infinitely more powerful than the ego. We have everything upside down. If somebody says, oh, I'm so heartbroken because of what he did to me, what she's really saying is, I'm so ego broken. See, because the true self is the heart. The true authentic self can never be broken. It can never be wounded. You know? So this is the superhero part of us that we completely deny, that we have this invulnerable heart, but it gets suppressed. Because we're so wrapped up in the mind, this egoic
right.
mind, and so we allow the mind to lead the heart, and that's the current human stage. And so the next human is the other way around. She allows the heart to lead the mind, and that's the difference.
Which scientists are figuring out is actually the way it's supposed to be instead of upside down. Even from a scientific perspective, with some of the heart math and showing that there's neurological tissue in the heart and all kinds of cool stuff that I've been reading about lately.
Well, yeah, that's scientific proof. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I'm just a geek that way. I like this stuff. So my next question was, you call the ego the pseudo-self in your book, and I was going to ask you about that, but you kind of already answered it, It kind of is that false self that needs to be an island unto itself, right? Be separate. And I talk about separation a lot when I'm teaching and things, because we all run around, separate when it's impossible to be separate. So
it is, and that's the cause of our suffering. And that's
exactly.
What most people don't understand. They the reason why they're suffering is because they believe themselves to be separate. They've identified with that ego so much that they don't know where their pseudo-self ends and where their true self begins. They have completely identified with that false self, and so that's why they're depressed. That's why they are attracting to themselves all the negativity and turning their challenges and simple life challenges, which are really designed to help us grow and evolve and obtain skills and knowledge and wisdom, they're turning them into problems when they don't need to be, because this is a reactionary stage. Okay, there's no free will when you're identified with the ego. No free will at all. How can you have free will when you're constantly reacting to what this person says about you, or what that person says, or what happens, so-called happens to you? See, when you're ego identified, things happen to you, not the other way around. You have no control over life. You have no control over yourself, because you're constantly reacting to what people are saying and doing. So that's why people complain. That's why they criticize others. This is why they judge others. This is the phantom self, which, you know, this is the projection, the ego shadow, which gets projected onto others. This is how why people become intolerant, why they are hateful toward others, why they get jealous of other people. This is this unknown face, which is at some point in childhood where the ego was wounded, where everybody was at some point, okay, because the ego is developing, especially between the ages of 6 and 10. And it's, you know, a classmate or a parent or a sibling or an uncle, whomever, you know, caused this primal wounding, which is really an echo from other lives. But that gets suppressed. It gets repressed down into the dungeons of the psyche, and that's called what Carl Jung called the shadow self. And then we project that repressed self, that unknown face, onto others in the form of moral deficiency. You know, and, you know, she's a whore, and he's a bastard, and, you know, all this, these horrible things that we say to each other, and the way we treat each other. I mean, you can just go to the newsstand and look at the tabloids and see how horrible we treat each other as a society. And that's the shadow. That's the unknown face. You know, turn on the news and watch politics. Turn on the Bravo channel and watch the Housewives of New York City for 5 minutes, you know, until you can't stand it, and they're throwing things at each other. I mean, it's, but that's the phantom self that we're unconscious of. So we first have to identify the ego. The first step is to identify the ego, and then we can identify its shadow, the phantom, which manifests as the pain body, and this is how we feel that energy, that dark energy, comes through. And if you don't acknowledge it, it eventually will manifest as disease, physical disease, as it did with me. That's why I became so sick and ill, because I was just absorbing all of that negativity, all of that hatred, all of that anger into me. I never retaliated. I was a doormat. I was, you know, I just accepted the abuse, because I was conditioned at the age of 6, when my stepfather would take a switch off of a willow tree and spank me, or, you know, swat my legs until they bled every time I didn't pick up every leaf in the yard. That was my conditioned behavior, that this is normal. Violence is normal in this world. And so, therefore, I was beat up every year in school from the second grade all the way through the 10th, physically and verbally. And I was abused in every relationship that I had after that, because it just keeps repeating itself, see, throughout life until you wake up. You're more likely to wake up from a nightmare than you are from a pleasant dream, and that's the pain body. It keeps getting worse and worse and worse until you do finally wake up to the reality that you're creating it all yourself. And so that's so important to learn. It's so important for people to learn. So.
Well, and something that kind of came to me is, and some of the things that I learned along the way, so these are just different ways to say what you've been saying about, you know, when we identify with that pseudo-self, that's really when we, you know, project all those issues, you know, that the phantom self, and we take everything personally. So I might, when I talk about it, I may talk about the fact that, you know, everything's not about you, or it's not, you know, things, you know, you don't take, you what you're describing is somebody going around taking everything that everybody else did, you know, personally.
Right,
and
right.
Externalizing those experiences and all of that. And so disengaging that. I have a question for you before we kind of move on. I was just thinking, I'm always thinking, of course, when guests are explaining the material and things like that, that they're sharing, you know, I think I was raised very much to, in in denial of the ego because my fear was that I would be an egotistical person. And so it made me run circles for a long time because I couldn't acknowledge that I had an ego because I essentially become afraid of that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, where you're trying, you're so averse to the ego that you're trying to, you know, that you're trying to do everything but be egotistical, which then creates similarly, you know, me being a doormat and things like that too, because you just sort of let everything happen.
Well, if that's, yeah, I understand exactly
what
you're saying. So
it's almost going to that other extreme, yeah, to the other side of, it's all kind of the same thing. So I guess that wasn't really a question, but it was just something I was sharing.
Okay.
With
yeah,
you.
I agree.
And so you talked about the, you know, the phantom self, and that's really what you said then creates the shadow part of ourselves?
Yeah. The phantom,
or are they both kind of generated from the ego?
Well, is the shadow self, correct. Yeah, that phantom self. We don't know. That's why it's called the phantom, because you don't know it. You don't know that why you're pointing the finger at other people, why you're jealous of this person, why you hate that person, why you're judging that person when you're doing it. You're not conscious of it. And so that's why it's called the phantom. So until you become conscious that, you know, you're being intolerant of this person, that you're condemning this situation, you're judging this situation, you're blaming this person, you know, so that is that those projections because of that wound that it never got addressed. And as long as that wound doesn't get addressed, and I give you the tools in that chapter to address that wound and some healing techniques, guided meditation and so forth, then you're just going to keep repeating it. And what happens is that it will keep getting worse. It's kind of like Groundhog Day, you know, in the movie with Bill Murray.
That movie.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies.
It just goes over and over again.
Yeah, but that's the way life is. And, I mean, every relationship I've ever had has been the same behavioral dynamic. The face has changed. The name's changed. But I end up having the same fights, you know, with just about every single one of them, that it was almost exactly, you know, a replay of all the ones before, you know, going all the way back to childhood. So, you know, and that is that the reason for that is because that's how we grow. Eventually we're going to wake up and say, okay, what's going on here? You know, there's a common denominator between all of these relationships, and that common denominator was me.
Oh, that's quite a realization to have, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why chapter 4 is devoted to the mirror self. And in that chapter, we go very deep into transforming relationships and teaching how most relationships are codependent to some degree. At least 90% of relationships out there are codependent. So this whole thing about soulmates is really being overused and misused because people have this concept of an ideal person that's going to bring them happiness, and that's nonsense. That is completely delusional. You have to first become the person that you want to attract. It takes inner work to do that, but you're not going to just go out there and find this magical person that's going to, you know, come and save your life and make you happy. It doesn't work that way, and if you do, you're in for a huge disappointment.
Right, it's not going to go that way, is it?
No.
I think and our relationships do become, obviously, you know, our best opportunity to see within ourselves those things that we're, you know, carrying with us or the way that we're taking things personally and so on. I wanted to talk, before we get to relationships, because that is a biggie, and I agree with you about the whole soulmate thing. I think there's this idealized view of, oh my gosh, I'm going to, you know, and it's like life is not that way. It requires work. All relationships take work. My husband and I will attest to that, but we've been together for 17 years. It's not always been easy, but we've grown together. But it means that we have to be able to work through our issues together and also on our own.
Sure.
But something you touch on in the book that you say is an important aspect of our evolution, which I have recently really seen the intelligence of our body, the instinctual nature of the physical self, in my own experience. And it's been very liberating because I had a lot of detachment from the wisdom of our body. And so I wanted to, us to talk a little bit about why it's important to honor that part of ourselves.
Okay. Well, with me, it took a long time, over a decade before I started to do that, before I started to listen to my body. I kept fighting my diseases. And that's really, you turn on the news and you hear that all the time. Oh, she fought as long as she could. Her battle with leukemia finally ended with her death. And, we were conditioned as a society to think that we have to fight our diseases, that they're the enemy. And that's like saying that the body is the enemy. Because, the body is coming down with this disease for a reason, and it's a signal, and if you just ignore it and fight it, then you're missing the whole point. See? And so we really are upside down in our thinking and our understanding of why the body comes down with disease. The body is more intelligent than we are. And when we honor it, when we learn that, when we understand that, then we can give it the things that it needs so that it can repair itself. It's designed to do that. The problem is that modern medicine does exactly the opposite of what the body needs. It poisons it with toxic, cellular, damaging drugs as treatment, quote unquote, or it takes a scalpel knife to it and allows more toxins to come in by cutting open a cancerous tumor or whatever. So those are the only two treatments that insurance companies cover, which is insanity. Thank goodness more insurance companies are covering chiropractic care now, which is good. That's a good step in the right direction. But we still have a long way to go because our whole healthcare system is controlled by the pharmaceutical industry, a.k.a. Big Pharma. And drug sales is expected to reach or to exceed $1 trillion next year in 2014. And this is insanity. We're drug addicts. They've turned us all into drug addicts. And this is a healthcare system? No, it's not. It's a disease care system. So
right.
We're completely upside down when it comes to healthcare. So in that chapter, I go into detail and teach everyone, the proper diet, the proper healing modalities, drug-free, that are detoxifying with an infrared sauna. You can, with me, I cured myself of heavy metal toxicity with an infrared sauna. I cured my inner ear disorder and chronic dizziness with upper cervical care, which is a very small percentage of chiropractic care. It's not most 97% of chiropractors are not upper cervical. Okay, so It's really important to go to see an upper cervical practitioner because they only treat the C1 and C2 vertebrae, which house the brain stem, and the brain stem controls the nervous system for the entire body. And without the nerves, you would die. If you cut off the nerve supply to your heart would stop beating. If you cut off the nerve supply to your lungs, you'd stop breathing. So if there's any impingement there, if you've had any trauma like I did, I had two car accidents when I was a teenager, two whiplash incidents that caused severe cervical subluxation imbalance there. And until that was treated, I kept getting worse and worse. I couldn't figure out why I was dizzy all the time. It just felt like somebody was pushing me to one side. And I had this, horrible fatigue and all of these things. And so when I started to see that upper cervical care practitioner back in 1996, and, of course, it took time, and I was committed. I kept going to making my appointments. I kept getting treatments. Over time, the dizziness dissipated and was gone just in a matter of just a few years completely. And has contributed to my overall health and well-being. And not just that, but there's so many others, as I mentioned in the book, all these other diseases that upper cervical care magically makes disappear, like children with inner ear disorder or inner ear infections, which is the most common ailment for young children, instead of treating with antibiotics, which just lowers their immune system, you know, they go to upper cervical care, they get one treatment, and it's gone. So,
well, you know, and you're almost, you know, they call it preaching to the choir, but I'm with you. I was raised in a medical family, very much conditioned that my body was broken, you know. And in fact, I was missing part of my immune system when I was born, and they put a lot of fear, you know, I was going to die and all of these other things. And so they further dysfunctioned my immune system by throwing antibiotics. So well beyond, you know, at 23, I had been on 6 antibiotics for a simple sinus infection, and that's about the time that I said something's got to give, and we need to return back and reset here, which I did, and eventually became, you know, a very healthy person despite that particular abnormality that I had come in with. So, you know, and you're right, you know, we're just given so many messages, not only in our families and our culture, you know, throw a pill at it, it'll be fine, but the only way to really have true, you know, harmony in the body, of course, is to find out why it's dysfunctioning in the first place. So I totally agree with you that we need to be doing, you know, a lot more of that, honoring, you know, and that it was something that the angels were very, very, very much instilling in my brain to share on the show a lot, you know, toward the end of the last year in particular, because so much deep, you know, clearing was coming out of people, especially at the cellular level, that people were getting some pretty nasty stuff and from it. So,
right.
So, you know, so it's important that, you know, as we've already discussed, you know, to recognize the ego in ourselves and others and what's created out of that, the intelligence of the body. We kind of started to touch on, you know, our very important part of our lives, which is those relationships and how we grow.
Mm-hmm.
And you did mention a little bit about, you know, codependency, which is a dysfunction where things are out of that, you know. Is there, a short answer for how we can look at those relationships in our life a little differently?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you understand, if you have the feeling of neediness, that's what codependency is. It's neediness. Okay. You, in other words, you feel incomplete. I was watching Jerry Maguire the other night. I haven't seen it in a long time. One of my favorite movies. And the major flaw in that movie is the whole concept that, you know, you need somebody to complete you.
Right.
And that is false. We were simply being taught the wrong thing, and this is just part of modern, you know, society, and you know what we think is you know, again, going back to this whole thing, we feel that we're going to be happy. Somebody's going to bring us happiness, right? Somebody's going to bring us joy and fulfillment. Well, you know, we even say it, you know, in the vernacular. Well, you know, you need to find somebody so you can be happy. I want you to be happy. You know, it meaning that, oh, I can't be happy on my own. I need somebody to make me happy. And you know, that's what it's implying. And that's what
right.
People think. That's just what we're all conditioned to believe. So in that chapter, The Mirror Self, I write some short stories which are based on actual events that happened in my life, whether it would be me or a friend or a client or whatever. Of course, I changed the names and places, but otherwise the actual stories are true. But they describe the relationships that we have with one another and the dysfunction of these relationships, the insanity that ensues in these relationships, and the abuse that goes on. I mean, I watched a friend of mine go through a 6-year relationship with this girl, and he was constantly being abused by her in so many different ways and kept going back for more, you know. And usually it's the other way around, where it's the woman who, you know, takes the abuse. She plays what I call the phantom prey, which is the victim in the relationship. But it's a sadomasochistic relationship, and it's a very dysfunctional relationship, and there's so many of them out there. And a lot of times it's so subtle that the people, that the victim, it doesn't know that he or she is being abused, because the abuser, the predator, the phantom predator, is administering these, what I call needles, like kind of like a mosquito bite, right? So inconspicuously, just like, almost like a vampiric entity, right, that comes in and sees. But there's subtle derisions that happen on a daily, usually on a daily basis, in criticisms and in demeaning and in embarrassments and sometimes in public. In fact, the more public, the better sometimes for the ego, because the ego always knows when it's on stage. And so they're abusing their partner in front of, out there in front of everyone. And, then the partner just takes it and, you know,
right.
just shrugs her shoulders and says, well, you know, I've already made my bed. I've got to lie in it.
Right. And,
so and
that is so sad when people are just pretty shut down like that. And certainly, you know, why you know, the books like this and other, you know, being the new self-awareness that is required, you know, to see all of these things, certainly, you know, a lot of people, like, you know, like yourself and others, you know, sharing this information because people just have no awareness. Like
no,
you said, they just sort of resigned
that.
To stay in that place, you know, of being the victim. Well, let's. I know we're getting the time always goes by really quick, but let's talk about you know, another part of your book. As you go through the book, looks at manifesting in our lives from the heart, which we talked about, you know, rather than the mind, which is interesting because I did a channeling a couple years ago, and that was one of the indigenous grandfathers that I channeled that said that exact same thing. So I guess it was a very appropriate message back then as well, and it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not you know, this is so important to begin to be able to do that. Not only from the obvious, if we manifest from love, obviously it's better for us overall, but let's talk about the power of our heart. I mean, moving from the space of the heart a little bit.
Okay. Well, the heart, like you said earlier, the Institute of Heart Math at Stanford has been doing incredible research since the 90s on the scientific aspects of the heart, the power the heart has. What we don't realize is that when we're all in our mother's womb, we were first a heart before we became a brain. The brain came out of the heart, not the reverse. We know scientifically now that the brain takes its orders from the heart, not the reverse. We know that the heart has its own brain, that it's completely independent of the cranial brain. We know that the heart is 5,000 times magnetically more powerful than the brain and has a field that extends up to 8 feet around the body.
Wow, 8 feet?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I knew the magnetic field of the heart was stronger than the brain.
Yeah.
But your heart actually resonates that far out from the body. That's
absolutely
amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah, and so that's when we see people like the Dalai Lama or, you know, Gandhi or, you know, Nelson Mandela or, you know, people that radiate compassion and kind, who are completely living in the heart, right? And then you always hear stories about, oh, my gosh, you know, just being around him, you know, or Mother Teresa is another one, you know, just being around these people, you just feel warm and caressed and nurtured and loved, and because their magnetic field is extending and enveloping you know, others around them, and because they're living in the heart. And this is the next human. This is where the next human resides. That's why the front cover is a heart. You know, the next human's coming out of a heart. So, yeah, the heart we know now is, and we also know there's no more dichotomies are out. Where we used to say, oh, he's left-brained or she's right-brained. You know, and that you're either one or the other. No, that's not true. Scientific research has shown that you actually excel more when you are learning to utilize both parts of the brain, not just one. Okay? Even for creative endeavors, the left brain has been used in many studies, and I point those out in that chapter. So this whole dichotomy about right and left, the next human will not utilize the brain as the primary source of intelligence. She will reside in the heart. She will use heart-based intelligence. When that happens, the ego is taken out of the equation. And I believe, personally, the ego and its shadow, the pain body, is a really DNA programs. And we know now, for sure, that the heart can alter DNA. So when you start to live in the heart, you're essentially shutting down you're turning off, because that's all DNA is. It's like a light switch. You know, they're either on or they're off.
That's true. I know. Yes, I do know that. Yes.
Right. So what we do is we turn off the ego. We start living in the heart, because then you're living in the now. You're living in the present moment. Every moment is alive. This is the truth. This is when we get to the zero point self, when we really realize that every moment, that's the secret of life. But if you're constantly ego identified, then what's going to happen is your mind's going to either race to the past or it's going to race to the future. It's going to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, or you're going to dread about what happened yesterday. Okay.
Right.
And if you're doing that, and until you can catch your mind doing that, then you're not creating any space between you and your mind. The thoughts in your head are not you. This is what most people don't understand. They think that they are the thoughts in the head. they think that's
right.
Who they are. It's not. It's your mind. Your mind is just a tool. Just like your car, like your computer, like your smartphone, it's designed to be a tool. You are separate from that. And until you can get there, you're not going to evolve into the next human. And that's the zero point self, which we get into the last chapter. But that is the key. That is the key to life, and that's the key to happiness, true happiness. Don't need anybody else to make you happy. You're already complete. You're already whole. And until you find that space, until you find that place, then you're constantly going to be creating suffering for yourself and for others.
Which is yucky, and we don't want to do that. I mean, that was kind of when I, like you had mentioned early, you know, early, you just got to this point where it's like, okay, something's got to give. And as
yeah.
I also, you know, many of these tools and different, you know, we all do it a little different ways, but essentially everything that you said to me is absolute truth, the work that we have to do, you know, on ourselves to realize to, you know, be in the present moment. And, you know, your final point in the book's about our ability really to obviously return to oneness without that constant wound of separation, I call it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we're in the able to be, as you said, in the present moment, in that living moment right there, you know, that's when there is no separation. It's when we exist as, you know, in oneness with everything all at the same time.
Go ahead.
And you were talking, you know, and I just quickly wanted to mention, I had a Buddhist teacher named Thrungpa Rinpoche that I attended a 9-day teaching on the Heart Sutra.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my first experience. You know, we were talking about the field, the magnetic field of the heart. When he, you know, when we stood up in reverence as he came in, when he crossed by the row, we were all packed in this room, I began to weep in joy. And it was the most incredible experience to be in the presence of somebody with a field like that, you know, in that heart.
Yeah.
So I can confirm that, you know, that's possible of all people, you know, to reach a place of oneness and you know, that heart place. But I had that experience as well. You know, we talked about the Dalai Lama and all of that.
Oh, good. Yeah,
and it was the first time I'd ever seen somebody's presence simply open me wide. It just went.
Wow.
And it was like feeling like I was back in source, you know, full oneness.
Right.
And, yeah, it was a brief little, you know what I mean, it was a very small experience, but it led then to these other experiences, because I believe that we have these kundalini awakenings and things, you know, to show us kind of where we can go. But then we also have to get all the stuff out of the way of that becoming a permanent kind of state of being. So, and gosh, you know, before we close our interview, I wanted to ask you that, you know, about, you state in your book, The New Era Begins on February 19th of this year. That intrigued me. Could you share a little bit about that before we close our interview?
Sure, I'd be happy to. The Mayans got together for the first time, and all the tribes. This was back in 2006, and they concluded that nothing was going to really happen on the 22nd of December, and that so they weren't going to have their ceremony. They wanted to have a ceremony that would usher in the new age, the new cycle, which is 13,000 years. So the Earth wobbles on its axis. Everybody knows that, And if you put a pole right down to the center of the Earth, you would see that that pole carves out a circle in the heavens from this wobble. Okay, so it's 26,000 years that it takes for it to go full circle. So one half of that is 13,000 years, and that was the end of the last ice age. That was when Atlantis sunk, and that began the cycle that we have been for the 13,000 years, last 13,000. But officially, on February 19th of this year, starts a new cycle. And so they're having their ceremonies on the 18th and the 19th, the Mayans are. So if there is an official start date,
if we can say, okay,
cycle,
ready, set, go.
Yeah, of the new cycle. Of course, everything is transitionary. It's not like everything's going to happen, you know, overnight. It doesn't happen
right
that way. But, yeah, that's why I put that in there. It's kind of the official beginning of the new cycle of the next 13,000 years, which is the golden age, and this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful time to be alive and to live. We're going to be able to extend our lives indefinitely if we want to stay, because the frequency is going to be so high. We're moving out of the 3D realm into a 4D realm, and that's another purpose of these next human children, is to help us do that. And as we get into a higher frequency realm, everything's going to change overnight. I mean, literally within just a few years, we're going to see so many sweeping changes on this planet. People are going to be so surprised and dumbfounded. You know, the superhuman powers that a lot of these next human children are going to possess and already possess.
We're seeing these children coming in, and they're just getting higher and higher frequency.
So you can just tell in their eyes. You can just see them.
They're
totally empathic. I mean, my little nephew, he's 3 years old, and he can read everybody's mind in the room.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's exciting to me. Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. How can people reach out to you for more information, you know, get the book? Because it would be a great book for people to get.
Yeah, sure. Just go to my site, jasonlincolnjeffers.com, and the book is there in three formats. I'll also have life coaching, wellness coaching available via Skype, and I have counsel clients all over the world. And then I also have life path astrology readings. If you're searching for your life path, we can do that through astrology. And then there's some wonderful art on the site as well. So all that's good stuff at jasonlincolnjeffers.com.
Wonderful, Jason. Thanks so much for being on the Angel Connection. And here's to a wonderful 2013, right?
Absolutely. It was a great pleasure, CJ. Thank you again for having me. And, again, Happy New Year to you and yours.
And let me know next time you're in KC, and we'll get some coffee.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you. Take care.
All right.
Well, I understand that I have somebody who's been waiting for a reading. We'll have to do it real quick. So, hello, Cyril. Welcome to the Angel Connection.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I simply wanted an angel message.
Okay. I'm getting a little dry throat here. It'll have to be very quick, but I do have an angel message for you, so I'm glad you hung in there, and I appreciate it. What they're telling me is that, you know, this year especially is going to be a very changing year. Things may seem very much status quo for the next couple of months as things start to kind of line up. But I see you being able to complete things that perhaps haven't been able to be completed up to this point, things that you would like to finish. And they tell me that you're really going to really tap in also this year to some, you know, spiritual abilities, insights, connectedness, things that you've really been searching for. I see that around your heart, really seeking. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, things like we were talking about on this show, you know, as you're on that journey, you know, I see things really opening up for you, especially around the summertime.
July, August.
Yeah, June, July time frame. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry we don't have much more time. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much for the message.
Take care. Well, gosh, that's all the time we have this evening. You've been listening to the Angel Connection Show with CJ Martis. Time always flies. Join me next week when I welcome a children's author for the first time. She wrote a book called The Day an Angel Ran Into My Room, right up my alley. So we're going to have fun. Her name is Annabelle Venezuela Arcon. Until next time, my friends, remember to be angelic to yourselves so that you can become an angel to others. Take care and have a blessed week.